Hello, friends, and welcome to this week's episode of Grits in the Gospel. My name is Reverend Katie Griffiths. I'm so excited to be here. This is a great story this week of a United Methodist woman. We share her with a lot of other denominations, but I find myself in that same position. I went to a Southern Baptist preschool. I went to a Presbyterian school from kindergarten to 12th grade. I grew up in the Disciple of Christ Church, and now I'm a Methodist and have a degree from a Methodist institution. So I'm with Fanny on getting a wide ecumenical view of things. I think that is why a lot of her hymns resonate across the denominations. Fanny Crosby was a beautiful blind woman who wrote a lot, and I'm excited to bring you her story today on this sixth Sunday after Pentecost. Let us come together now in a time of worship. The Lord be with you and also with you. Today's psalm is the 100th psalm, and while I am not usually an advocate for the King James Version of the Bible, there are some verses, some chapters, some stories that just sound better in the King James Version because they're comforting that way. It's what we memorized as children. It's what we grew up listening to. It is what makes our heart happy. So if you were one of those people that had to grow up memorizing verses or hearing these verses and words in the King James Version, I hope this warms your heart. If you aren't one of those old people like I am, I hope that hearing these words in a different form will make you ponder them in a new and different way. Hear now the words of Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. The word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. As we come together today, let us remind ourselves of those old words of the Apostles' Creed that still ring true today. Friends, what do we believe? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray together. Dear Lord, as we come together today to hear those words of your son's healing of the blind man, let us remember that blindness is not a sin. Blindness is not something we need to be healed from, but our own heart's blindness is what keeps us from being in full communion with you and from each other. Heal that part of our heart that lets us see those around us. Hear us now as we pray those words that your Son taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I believe I left some of that out, but my brain, as it tends to do, went blank. And sometimes we need to remind ourselves that saying things rotely is not always saying them in full. So I pray that your heart was more remembering than mine was today. And it is a good reminder for me and for all of us that we need to remind ourselves of those words more often so they don't leave our hearts and our brains. Hear now the words of the New Testament lesson. This is from Mark chapter 8, verses 22 through 26. This version is the New Revised Standard Updated Edition. And it is from the first or oldest gospel that we know of, Mark, and his version of the healing of the blind man. Hear now the gospel according to Mark. They came to Bethesda. Some people brought a blind man to him and begged him to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the village. And when he had put saliva on his eyes and laid his hands on him, he asked him, "Can you see anything?" And the man looked up and said, "I can see people, but they look like trees walking." Then Jesus laid his hand on his eyes again, and he looked intently, and his eyesight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. And then he sent him away to his home, saying, "Do not even go into the village." The word of God, for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? Dear Lord, open the eyes of our heart today as we come together to hear this message that you have given. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. For a brief period of time, I taught third and fifth grade at Vineville Academy in Macon. Vineville is a Bibb County public fine arts magnet school. Because we were a fine arts magnet, we had several pianos, and one day the tuners were there. I happened to know them, so I was hugging them and talking to them for a few minutes. I went to the office, and one of the ladies pulled me aside, and she said, "You know, he can't tell how cute you are, Katie. You don't have to bat your eyes at him. He's blind." I said, "He knows exactly how cute I am. He's my uncle." Milton Brown was my paternal great uncle. He was the youngest brother of my grandmother Thelma and lived his whole life in Twiggs County. John Milton Brown was born July 8, 1941. He was the second blind son to be born into the family. His older brother Paul was completely blind, where Milton could tell the difference between day and night, light and dark. Milton and Paul both attended the Georgia Academy for the Blind in Macon. Today, the academy prepares students for a wide variety of jobs, but at the time, the main skills they taught were chair caning and piano tuning. Milton chose to learn to tune pianos. He worked all over Middle Georgia, but his shop was on the family land in Twiggs County. He built, tuned, and refurbished and moved pianos. To watch a blind man move a piano, mostly by himself, was a sight to behold. He never thought of his blindness as a disability. He never let it stop him. He led a full and beautiful life. Blindness was never an excuse for missing out on the fun. He used to put his nephews and nieces, one of which was my dad, on the handlebar of his bicycle and ride them around the farm. Yep, you heard that right. Fanny Crosby did not let her blindness slow her down either. Born in 1920 in New York, she lost her sight at 6 weeks old from an infection. The Braille language was not yet completed when she began school, so she relied on other people to write and transcribe her work. She also moved through several denominations, but she did belong to the Methodist Church at one point. She wrote over 8,000 hymns, but often would not take credit for them. She donated any profits she had from her writing to charity. Her music and lyrical talent was immense. She could listen to a piece of music or sometimes even a short piece of the tune and come up with lyrics. The Blessed Assurance lyrics are said to be one of those hymns. Being blind does not mean you can't see. Being blind does not mean you are not capable. Being blind often means you have superhuman abilities in other ways. In biblical times, they saw blindness and illness in a very different light. Medicine was largely misunderstood and was associated with sin. And while sometimes our action can cause us to be hurt and sick, most of these ailments were caused by physical issues, not spiritual ones. Being blind, having physical deformities, being confined to a wheelchair, having illnesses like cancer, are no longer seen as issues to be hidden or looked down upon. It's sometimes hard to read some of these healing scriptures of Jesus when we know people who live with the things he healed people of. When we look at the Levitical codes, we also see rules that were put in place to keep people healthy. Thank goodness modern medicine has shown us a better way to see our bodies and the ways we can treat it. Even John Wesley tried his hand at healing. In his journals, there are a lot of medical treatments that he used. My favorite one is for baldness. Fellas, take note. Wesley thought you should take an onion, cut it in half, and rub it on your head. There's a reason we no longer ask our preachers for medical advice. So if you suffer from the things that the ancient world saw as caused by sin, or if you're losing your hair, please know that there's nothing wrong with you. You're a beautiful child of God, made in his image and perfect just like you are, even if you've lost a little hair. Fanny Crosby and my Uncle Milton certainly proved that being blind does not mean you can't do anything you put your mind to. Today, as we read these lessons and healings of Jesus, there's still a lot we can take from it. We can all be blind. We can all have things that we truly need to see around us. There can be things that we miss in life that we need to have our eyes open to. Blindness is not just about the physical inability to see the world. This small story in Mark is a beautiful one. There are many stories in the Gospels of Jesus healing the blind, but this one is special. The blind man comes to Jesus begging him to be healed. Instead of making a spectacle and healing in front of everyone, he takes the man to a private place outside of the village. He tries to heal the man with his saliva. Healing waters can come in many forms. But once wasn't enough. I love the man's description of what he sees. He can see people, but they're walking around like trees. It takes Jesus working at his eyes again to fully restore his sight. There are many lessons here. I could do a whole series just on these verses. Spiritual growth and understanding is a process. God may have to show us more than once the things he is trying to get us to see. It reminds me very much of John Wesley's idea of grace. Prevenient grace is that which is given to us from the beginning. We don't have to do anything to get it or to deserve it. In these verses, the blind man was never without God. His love was always there for him. The second kind of grace is justifying grace. That's like the first attempt at sight restoration that Jesus gives the man. It is restorative and relational, like through the touch of Jesus, but there's still a lot of learning and growing to do. It is that second attempt at healing his blindness that shows us Wesley's idea of sanctifying grace. That continual need to grow and learn and be healed that brings us toward perfection. I think what I love most about this story of healing is that Jesus did not give up on the man. He was there with him, helping him and guiding him through the process of seeing the world like Jesus wanted him to. That is where the lesson can ring true for us today. Just because we may be blind to some things, God is still right there with us. And as we work to learn and grow and become more knowledgeable and empathetic to the world around us, Jesus is right there with us, guiding and helping us. Friends, we are all blind in some ways. There are things we need to see about ourselves or the world around us that are not always easy or fun to open our eyes to. But Jesus shows us time and again that we are called to love. And he won't just throw us to the wolves to do it. He will be right there with us, loving us and guiding us through the changes that we need to make so that we can remove our blinders. He shows us the people we need to see and the justice we need to seek. He will never leave us to do it alone. What things are you blind to in your own life? What have you failed to see or even tried not to see that are right in front of you? What is Jesus guiding you through in your life to bring you to a place of fully being able to see the blessings he wants to give you? My Uncle Milt not only drove a bike around the farm, but he used to service all of the family and work vehicles. And to do that, he drove each of those cars and trucks up on the lift in his shop. That had to be a wild sight. The blind man driving a car. Milton didn't need to be healed. He could see and do almost everything we can do. Just in a different way, and not on the roads. Milton even knew just how cute his great niece was, just by the sound of her voice. Fanny Crosby didn't need to be healed either. She was a brilliant poet and lyricist that used her ability to really hear music to create some of the most beautiful hymns in our worship repertoire. It is the rest of us that can take a lesson from the two of them. We need to see people beyond what our eyes can see. And we need to listen to the beautiful sounds of the world to really be able to put his love for us into words. We all need to let Jesus heal us of the barriers we put up to being fully present with the people in our lives. And to really see them for who they are and what needs they have. Jesus healed the blind man. But often it is those of us who see that need to be healed of our blindness. It is my hope and prayer that we can all let Jesus touch the eyes of our heart and heal us as we move toward perfection. Amen. As we go throughout our week, let us look for the things in this life that cause us to be blind to those around us. And let us be healed through the power of Jesus so we can really see. Because in life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen.